Rafer?
Yes?
I have a question for you.
All right, lay it on me.
All right. Which of the following is your favorite Jennifer Aniston, your favorite version of the Aniston?
Yes.
Is it indignation, flustered indignation, confusion, flustered confusion, adorable confusion, flustered adorable confusion, or just adorableness?
I'm going to say flustered adorable confusion.
Oh!
That's all the Anistons all in one.
That is the best of all Anistons,
right?
All in one Aniston.
That's all of them
it's
together.
True.
That's
true.
That's why we love her, I think.
Now, the reason I ask is because we're going to talk about The Switch today.
Yes, indeed.
And about the wonderful oeuvre of Jennifer Aniston films.
Yes.
And before that, let me introduce myself. This is Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, a movie critic for Newsday, and this is Movie Date.
How did you feel about The Switch? Or The Switch?
The Switch,
The Switch.
Right.
How did you feel about that?
Well, for those who aren't terribly familiar with it, it's the third sperm donor comedy of the year, right? Following
yes.
following The Backup Plan with J-Lo. Mm-hmm. And then The Kids Are All Right with Annette Bening and Julianne Moore. And this one has Jennifer Aniston as a single woman who is tired of waiting for Mr. Right, wants to get pregnant, and decides to go out and get herself a sperm donor. And she finds one in hunky Patrick Wilson, right, who plays Roland. He's like the athletic do-gooder.
He's just too much.
He's too much. I actually thought he was quite good in this movie. I thought he was very funny.
Oh, I thought he was hilarious.
Yeah, he's very
funny. Because
he's
not just hunky. Of course, he's a professor at Columbia. And, of course,
right.
what he teaches is women's studies.
Women's studies, exactly. Right, right. And he's athletic.
He's so good-looking, and he's so sensitive. And
yes,
he really
yes.
cares about how you feel about
right.
things.
And yet, kind of clueless at the same time,
mm-hmm.
right? Kind of clueless to other people, what other people are feeling, you know, in his way, which makes him kind of a funnier character. But, of course, the real star of the film, to me, was Jason Bateman, who
Absolutely.
Plays
yeah.
Jennifer Aniston's best friend. He's this curmudgeonly, sort of ill-humored misfit, can't bring himself to, you know, tell Jennifer Aniston how he really feels about her. And then, of course, without giving too much away, he sort of intervenes in her pregnancy plans.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it.
Yes, well, that's the basic gist. And I have to say, again, going into it, you know, the third movie of its kind, I felt that it was swimming upstream, shall
Ooh,
we say.
But Rafer.
I didn't have high expectations for it. And also, it's a Jennifer Aniston movie, and Jennifer Aniston movies tend not to be that good. But I actually thought it was really good. I thought it was really smart and sensitive and funny, and I thought it was believable. And I thought, again, Jason Bateman really carries the film. I thought he was great in it. I really liked it. How about you?
I agree. I think that he was terrific. I think the little boy who is produced out of Jennifer Aniston's plan
yes.
is fantastic.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
I could just watch that kid all day. He's so funny. He's
yeah.
quirky. He's neurotic. He's
yes.
all these things that you don't expect in a six-year-old. And he does it so well.
Yeah.
And there are so many touching scenes between Jason Bateman
They're very
and this
scenes.
Little boy.
Yeah.
However, the scenes between Jennifer Aniston and Jason Bateman, they were adorable and few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're really going in for is kind of a romantic comedy here.
Yes.
And there's very little romance between those two. All the romance and love seems to be between the little boy and Jason Bateman.
Yeah, it's very much like About a Boy or something like
yeah,
that, right?
About
the Hugh
a
Grant
boy.
Movie. Right.
Yeah,
that's the real relationship.
Yeah.
Thank you, Finsbury. I'd like to introduce one or two members of the band. Marcus Brewer on vocals and tambourine.
Or Made in Manhattan, a wonderful J-Lo movie.
No, J-Lo again.
Yeah. So I wanted a little bit more romance or possible romance or misreading of romance to be developing between Jason Bateman and Jennifer Aniston because, you know, you kind of want to, will they or won't they, have that
right.
feeling through the whole movie. With any romantic comedy, you kind of want that feeling, will they or won't they? And in this movie, it never seemed like they would. It just seemed like you would have to deal with it if they did.
Right.
Do you know
well,
what I mean?
It has a sense of the inevitable,
yes.
is what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. I actually felt that this was the first time I'd seen Jennifer Aniston, well, the first time in a long time that I'd seen her paired with a leading man that kind of made sense for her and that was able to bring out the best in her on screen. Like I felt
her adorable confused.
Her adorable flustered confusedness. Yes.
Yes.
I think it worked well with those two because they both seemed not not larger than life in the usual Hollywood sense. I mean, like, okay, the last film that I remember with Jennifer Aniston was The Bounty Hunter, right, with Gerard Butler, all right?
It's ridiculous that I was even arrested in the first place.
Hello, Nick.
Yeah, but why didn't you show up to court today?
Pretty bad film. Not as bad as I thought it was going to be, but still pretty bad. And, you know, if you just think about it, I mean, you know, you don't have to be a Hollywood executive. Just think about it. Jennifer Aniston and Gerard Butler. Who wants to see that? Do you know what I'm saying?
I love Gerard Butler.
You like Gerard Butler?
Well, he's kind of hunky.
Yeah. He's definitely hunky. I don't mean to take that away from him.
I don't know if I want to see them together, though.
Right. Well, exactly. Yeah. Because, you know, why would you want to see sort of big, burly, garrulous, loudmouth Gerard Butler with this really kind of fragile, sensitive, smaller-than-life Jennifer Aniston? Do you know what I mean?
Fragile? I never saw her as fragile.
Well, here's the funny thing about Jennifer Aniston, and I guess I'd call it the Jennifer Aniston paradox, right? Is that she's one of the world's, you know, most famous popular movie stars, right? And yet, she's got a pretty bad track record of movies. And in fact, I did a little number crunching. I'm gonna lay this on.
Bring in the math to movie.
I'm gonna bring in some. Yeah, I know. Yeah, me bringing in math. But I did some number crunching with Box Office Mojo, who I should credit here. And really, my theory is that the more prominently she figures on the poster, the worse the movie will do. So she actually, like, she can't really carry a movie. She's much better as a supporting actress or even a bit player. So I was looking at her three top grossing movies. Number one, you'll never guess.
Is it Office Space?
Huh, what do I think? You know what, Stan? If you want me to wear 37 pieces of flair like your pretty boy over there, Brian, why don't you just make the minimum 37 pieces of flair?
No, Office Space is way down the list.
It's got such a huge cult following.
I know it does.
Okay, so that's not Office Space. Is it? It's. Oh, God, he's just not that into you?
Okay, that's up there.
Did any of you guys have a chance to get to the store?
Well, we're good. We got takeout.
Yeah. What are the first two?
The first two, the biggest one, $243 million, is Bruce Almighty.
What?
Right. You don't even remember her in it. You don't even remember her in it. And she wasn't even on the poster, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know. I woke up this morning and I felt like my boobs were bigger. I mean, do they look bigger to you?
What? Or, No. Bigger?
Oh, come on!
Second biggest, Marley and Me. Also, not on the poster. No humans on the poster. Just a dog, right? So then you get into like the romantic comedies that she did, and if you pair her with a really strong star who's also got a good following, she has a shot, right? Along Came Polly with Ben Stiller.
Not a good movie.
But it did well.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
What?
What are you doing?
I'm gonna have some nuts.
No, you don't eat mixed nuts at a bar. Everybody knows that.
What are you talking about?
Then The Breakup with Vince Vaughn.
Again, not a good movie.
I'm not here to say whether those are good movies. But, you know, they did well at the box office. Then you get to these movies where she's very prominently featured on the poster and she's not doing very well. And she's
Picture Perfect.
Yeah, Picture Perfect. All right. Yeah, did not do well. Derailed with Clive Owen. Does anyone even remember that movie?
That was supposed to be a suspense
thriller. Right. Yeah. Not Jennifer Aniston's forte, right? No. The suspense thriller. And then Love Happens with Aaron Eckhart, right?
Oh,
we all love Aaron Eckhart.
But he's not a strong star. I barely remember the poster for that movie.
Right. It's the two of them, you know, kissing. I don't know what else to tell you. not much else to remember. A terrible film. One of the worst films I've ever seen. All right. And then you get into movies where she's really prominently feature than poster, like Rumor Has It, the kind of family drama, Rob Reiner.
Oh, yeah.
Just want to have sex in the bathroom?
I don't know, Sarah. It's so cramped in there. They got that harsh light.
I'm serious.
I don't think you are.
I am serious.
I don't know.
Oh, come on.
That was the one movie I could find where she is not just prominently on the poster, but like her entire body is on the poster. And that movie was a flop. Right?
So it was terrible.
Why does this happen, though? Why do we all still care about Jennifer Aniston? You know, any move she makes, she's in the tabloids. We all love seeing her, talking about her. But we don't seem to go see her movies very much.
I think that her strength, listening to all of your number crunching, I think that her strength has got to be leaving you wanting more.
Ah.
You know, her real claim to fame is Friends.
Right.
That's an ensemble show.
Right.
She's only going to appear in roughly 5 minutes per episode. It's a 22-minute episode. You have six main players plus the supporting characters.
Right. Okay.
So if you get her for 5 minutes an episode, you know. then wanting more.
Then you're wanting more. All right.
She needs to leave you wanting more, and I feel that all the tabloids are about that too.
Maybe
lots of speculation about her. She doesn't give a ton of interviews other than the red carpet. Oh, I'm wearing Versace or whatever she, you know.
Right.
But as far as real sit-down interviews, she might issue one or two a year, it feels like.
Right.
But I think her thing is leaving you wanting more. She's the girl next door who you think you know really well.
Right.
But she won't really let you know her.
That's interesting. As an actress, I was thinking about why she hasn't, you know, done as well as other actresses.
Other than
instance.
Her bad acting?
Other than, I don't think she's a bad actress.
She just
actress.
Has no range. She has, like, even the most actorly acting that she supposedly did once in The Good Girl.
The Good Girl.
Bubba, stand up.
Why?
Oh, for Christ's sakes. Look at that couch, Phil. Y'all got paint all over it. This ain't gonna come off. Damn it, Phil.
In The Good Girl, the only difference between her and in her role in that movie and any other role is instead of gesticulating with her hands over her head, mm-hmm. she gesticulated with her hands at her waist.
At waist level, okay.
And then instead of her hair being down all the time, sometimes she wore it in a ponytail.
Well, you were the one. You were the one that pointed out to me that, and I have to say, I went home and I pretty much thought about this all weekend. You were the one that pointed out to me that she's never changed her haircut.
She's incapable of, like, she's had three variations of the same haircut pretty much her whole life.
Right.
It's like shoulder length, long shoulder length, mm-hmm. just beyond wavy shoulder length.
Right.
Totally wavy shoulder length, slightly longer than shoulder length wavy.
And you it's know, kind it's of layered a little bit, isn't that what they call it?
Layered with some light streaks in it. She just cannot vary her hair. Put her in a pink bouffant. Put her in, change her makeup and hair a little bit. She always looks exactly the same.
But you're never going to see her do, you know, like Charlize Theron in Monster. You know,
no.
she's never going to, you know, or even like Emma Thompson and Nanny McPhee. She's never going to put on like a goofy, you know what I mean? You never see her do that. And
no,
I think
the very messiest
that was
role
a really
she
good
ever
point
was
you brought
in
up.
Was The Good Girl. And that's
right.
The messiest you can get is your hair is in a ponytail instead
right.
of down.
Right.
That's, no, that doesn't show any visual range. And when your acting range is so limited, you need to at least change what you look like a little bit as an actor, I think.
The last thing I will say is a little side note to the Jennifer Aniston paradox is that the smaller the film, the closer it is to an indie film, the better she seems to do and the better her reviews seem to be. Good Girl, like you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Friends with Money,
mm-hmm.
That one with Catherine Keener and Frances McDormand. And then Management, which was a like an indie romantic comedy with Steve Zahn, which I thought was terrible, but actually got really good reviews.
Do you do this a lot, Mike?
No.
Sometimes?
Very rarely.
Does it ever work?
Never.
What would constitute having it work?
So it's almost as though, like, the less you try to make her into a movie star, the better she might do. Do you know what I'm saying?
So the lesson is the number one indie movie star in America is Jennifer Aniston.
Props
to Jennifer Aniston and her indie career.
Who knew? We finally solved the problem.
Excellent. Thanks, Rayford.
Thanks, Kristen.